How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bell, I'm the best, best, best tail. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bell, I'm the best, best, rest chill. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
And welcome in to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. You can follow me on Twitter at FF Stalder. Tonight, I'm going to jump into a 2023 NFL mock draft that's provided by Lance Zierlein. And Zierlein's work can be found on NFL.com. He's an NFL media draft analyst and is really plugged into the teams. And so when Lance Zierlein speaks, we should listen to some team wants to communicate with him. He has insight into these teams where he understands the dynamics. He understands the team needs. But also this mock draft is, if you can go on to NFL.com and look up his 3.0 mock draft, my focus tonight is only going to be on the fantasy football impact. But as he says in his article in this 3.0 mock draft, this is how he sees things playing out, not where he believes players should go, but where they will go. And that's, I think, where we need to kind of shift a little bit in our thinking of NFL teams are going to do what they want to do. Look, as much as we think that, for instance, like Bijan Robinson is a top tier prospect, we hope that most of the NFL sees that. We hope that the teams with good fantasy landing spots will see that. But maybe there are teams that reach, or maybe there are teams that make head scratching decisions. And there are going to be a few things in this mock draft where I want to talk about the fantasy football impact of some trades that Lance talks about that he speculates could happen, and also some of the landing spots that if these players land in on these teams, we could be talking about a whole different dimension. So that's why we're plugging in right now. Lance Zierlein's 3.0 mock draft is available on NFL.com. I myself will be working on a mock draft here soon, but you know, there's a lot of content to break down, so let's get into it. The first player off the board for Lance Zierlein is at the 1.01. Carolina selects Bryce Young in this mock draft. And this is surprising because, at least from what my experience has been, Bryce Young goes normally at like the 1.02 in many of the mock drafts. Yes, I've seen him go 101 to Carolina, but at the 101, but Houston, I've seen very often draft him at the 102, and Stroud goes as the 101. But in this mock draft, Lance Zierlein says that there's been, quote, a lot of smoke around CJ Stroud in this spot, but Young checks more boxes, according to Zierlein, and makes more sense for Frank Reich. So Lance Zierlein believes that Bryce Young is a better fit for the Carolina Panthers and Frank Reich and what Frank Reich wants to do. If we look at where Bryce Young is, you know, we know he's been graded well, over a 91 PFF grade over the last two seasons, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Alabama product. So there's pedigree, there's high, he's performed on a high stage, but also we have to take a step back and look at what this Carolina team has done this offseason. They've brought in DJ Chark. They've brought in Adam Thielen. They've brought in Miles Sanders. They've brought in a backup of Andy Dalton, who is a capable backup. He kept New Orleans in games last year and is able to capably run an offense. Carolina brought in Hayden Hurst from Cincinnati. So this team in Carolina is not looking to lose this year. They're not looking to be a top pick again. And so they want an NFL ready, a high stakes ready, a big time winner on their team. And so Zierlein is leaning into this analysis and saying, you know what? They don't have the first round pick next year. It does not benefit them if that's an early pick. And this division is wide open. So, you know, you got the Saints, you've got the Bucks, you've got the Falcons. Like, you are able to take this division with a competitive roster. And Bryce Young may be more ready, at least in the offense that Frank Reich wants to run in Carolina. So Bryce Young goes as the 101. In the mock draft that Lance Zierlein puts up, he does not have Houston selecting CJ Stroud at 2. Instead, he has Tyree Wilson selected at two. But Zierlein mentions that if the Texans miss out on Young, they may not be a lock to take Stroud. And we've heard some rumblings about the Texans not selecting a quarterback in the 2023 draft if their quarterback is taken at the 101. If their top quarterback is selected, we will see if that actually plays out. In my intuition, I think that's unlikely. They're going to roll with who? Davis Mills and Case Keenum? I think it's Case Keenum there. So with needs along the defensive front and 2 23 first-round picks, the choice could be between, Lance Zierlein says, between Tyree Wilson, a standout edge rusher out of Texas Tech, and Will Anderson. And then after the 102, the Cardinals, he doesn't anticipate trading that pick, will go with Will Anderson, arguably the best defensive player in the draft, an edge out of Alabama. Now, this is where things get a little wonky in this mock draft, a little spicy. Lance Zierlein projects that the Baltimore Ravens will trade Lamar Jackson to the Indianapolis Colts, and that package will include the 104. And as a result, the Baltimore Ravens will select CJ Stroud with this 1.04 pick. Okay. This would be very hard for the Baltimore Ravens to pass up a quarterback, is Zierlein's argument. And I don't disagree. Like, if you trade Lamar Jackson, you're not going to go with Tyler Huntley. We know how sluggish the offense was with him when he took over. So the 104 selecting CJ Stroud gets Baltimore back onto the map despite the loss of Lamar Jackson. And CJ Stroud, as we know, 92 and 88 PFF grade each of the last two seasons, really ranging between the 101 and 102 in these mock drafts. And he showed off at his pro day. He showed off at the combine. He's accurate. He's got great touch. He can process well from the pocket. But he does struggle under pressure. And so that may be a consideration for a Baltimore Ravens offensive line that is comfortable giving time to their quarterbacks, you know, Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley. So maybe this is a good fit. So we will see if that trade for Lamar Jackson does happen. If it does not happen, then I mean, it could be an interesting year and an interesting offseason for the Ravens as they try to work through this Lamar Jackson saga. Because right now he is on a restricted tag. So we'll see if this comes to fruition. But if Lamar gets traded, the 104 from the Colts will probably be included. Now, that would put Seattle out of the top two quarterbacks, and it also gives Jalen Carter, Lance Zierlein puts Jalen Carter at 5 to the Seahawks via, that was the Denver Broncos trade. So the Seahawks get a top 5 pick, and Jalen Carter, we've seen guys with issues go to Seattle and just be just fine for Pete Carroll. And Jalen Carter has some of that baggage right now that NFL teams may be concerned about in the top four. Like, there was concern that that Jalen Carter would fall out of the top 10. And there are some mock drafts insinuating as such, but Jalen Carter is still one of the top prospects in this draft. And Seattle may view it as a value to be able to get Jalen Carter here at the 105. At the 106, the Detroit Lions also receiving a pick from it via trade. This time, this is the Matthew Stafford trade from a couple years ago. The Lions get the 106 from the Rams, and they, according to Lance Zierlein, beef up their secondary with Devin Witherspoon. Okay, and that's going to bolster what was a weak spot for the Lions and now is going to be one of their strong suits. That secondary could be pretty dangerous. We're going to move to the 107 here. And in the mock draft for Lance Zierlein, Houston Texans select Will Levis. And this is via a projected trade that Zierlein has with the Las Vegas Raiders. So Zierlein says, you know what? The Houston Texans move up, I believe, from 12 in this mock draft. They move up to 7. They trade their 12th pick because they have plenty of other draft picks to be able to go get Will Levis. Now, maybe this is because, you know, Seattle doesn't take the quarterback. The Lions don't take the quarterback. And so Will Levis is there for Houston. It may just be then looking at Tyree Wilson. If the Houston Texans can get a deal done, then that's why they would take Tyree Wilson at 2. And then wait for Will Levis if they view that, you know, Levis can afford to sit, or Will Levis may be there for them at 7 or another place. Maybe they trade up with the Falcons to get the pick. So based on this mock draft, Houston selects quarterback Will Levis. And if we look at Will Levis, his stats, his PFF grades went down significantly, but he still has top tier talents that can't be ignored by NFL teams. He's got a strong arm. He can stand in the pocket and withstand pressure. He's a weapon on QB sneaks. I mean, he's a big dude. He's 6'4", 229. He'll be almost 24 when the season, he'll be 24 when the season starts. It's just my concern is that we saw a lot of red flags. Over the last two seasons combined, we've seen 23 interceptions for Will Levis. And yes, it's tough competition because Kentucky plays in the SEC. They've always got, you know, tough matchups. They played the Gators last year. They played Georgia. And actually, Georgia was one of the better games for Will Levis. They played Tennessee. They play Ole Miss. So there's plenty of good competition, but it's a concern that Will Levis wasn't able to elevate his game or maintain his grade. He had a 90.6 PFF grade in 2021, but instead, you know, played in 2022, had less than a 70 PFF grade, which is one of the worst among the quarterbacks in this class. So right now, the trend for Will Levis is that he will be selected most likely at picks number 7. That's his 50th percentile per PFF, but he's being selected as high as 4 and as low as 11. So he seems a lock for a top 10 pick based on the mock drafts. And if Houston does trade up, then Will Levis might be an option there. Okay. At 8 in this mock draft for Lance Zierlein, Christian Gonzalez, cornerback out of Oregon, gets selected, one of the best cornerback prospects in this class. The Falcons need help on defense, and this fills a pretty big need. The Bears at 109 select Lucas Van Ness, you know, a strong edge rusher. He can play a lot of different positions, and you know, out of Iowa is projected to be a top 10 pick. So Lucas Van Ness, I've seen go like in the 20s in some of the mock drafts, 13 in another mock draft that I saw. So we'll see if the Bears, you know, address their edge with Lucas Van Ness at 9. At 10, the Philadelphia Eagles go with the unsexy pick of Peter Skoronski, an offensive tackle. And look, the Eagles were lucky to be able to get back, you know, some of their offensive line. Lane Johnson signed for, what, $20 or $30 million this offseason on a one-year deal. So the offensive line is going to need help in the future. But for right now, it's okay and might as well invest in offensive line and offensive line depth. And so Lance Zierlein points to, well, this is the New Orleans pick for the Eagles and can step into the right guard position and play the tackle as well, maybe later on in his career. I don't hate the pick. I think it's actually pretty savvy that the Eagles are able to, you know, address a pretty big need or what could be a big need here in the future with a top 10 pick. But we're going to shift into pick 11. Tennessee Titans select Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the first wide receiver off the board for Lance Zierlein. This is a shift from Zerline's previous mocks where we had seen Jalen Hyatt go as one of the top picks in the draft. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba is my 101 in wide receivers for this class, no doubt. And if the NFL doesn't view it that way, I think that's a sham. But at 111, the Tennessee Titans do have a need for wide receiver when it's just Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine catch and pass. I mean, this might hurt Chigakonkwo pretty significantly, but we all had to know that Okonkwo was a little vulnerable. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba steps right in to be alongside Treylon Burks as a great 1-2 tandem. You have to wonder if Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback of the future here. Maybe the Titans go out and get themselves involved in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes with future picks or something like that. But the reality is if it's Ryan Tannehill throwing to Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Treylon Burks this year, that's going to be very fantasy appetizing. Right now, Ryan Tannehill is going like at the quarterback 30s or so. I drafted him a lot at quarterback 28, 29, 30 in these best ball drafts. I think that's too low. I think that's too low, especially if the Titans address the wide receiver position with a first round pick for the second year in a row. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba going there would automatically step into a 22% target share easily his rookie year. And I think that there are going to be some really nice spike week upside games for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Right now, Smith-Njigba's mock draft spots, he's being mocked 50th percentile at spot 12, as high as 10, as low as 14. So it seems to have leveled out over the last couple weeks. We haven't seen much change. And in fact, the Tennessee Titans are the second most mocked team to take Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So at 111 would not surprise me if the Titans do take that spot. And also if Zierlein says that the Titans think that he thinks that they're going to take him and they need him, this may be one of the bigger locks. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba should be on your radar for landing in Tennessee, which would hurt some of our like fantasy prospects for him. Like we would want him on the Chiefs. We would want him on the Bills. We would want him on the Chargers, but there's no way that he's going to be, you know, going to those teams who all made the playoffs this past year. The Titans, on the other hand, are in need. And this projection at 11 would be very, very interesting. All right, at the 112 in this mock draft, Darnell Wright, an offensive tackle for the Vegas Raiders. This was the 12th overall pick that was traded from the Houston Texans, which was originally the Cleveland Browns pick from the Deshaun Watson trade. So Darnell Wright, offensive tackle for Tennessee, goes 12 to the Raiders. The Raiders need to be able to protect Jimmy Garoppolo, who's missed games in multiple seasons. At 13, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle for Georgia, is projected. This is going to be key. The Jets need to protect Aaron Rodgers at all costs because this is the win now window. You cannot afford to be playing subpar offensive linemen with a quarterback who could retire tomorrow. So Broderick Jones is a protector for the Jets and played well at Georgia. So at 13, the Jets address the offensive line, which has gone through the gauntlet over the last few years. Some of their best players like Becton have gotten hurt. So at 13, good investment for the New York Jets. This is where things get a little interesting. Lance Zierlein is biting on the chatter about Mac Jones potentially being traded, or at least that there is tension or a rift between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. In this scenario, Mac Jones is traded, and New England instead selects Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida. And for Anthony Richardson to fall this late, I would be a little surprised, because Anthony Richardson right now is being mocked no lower than 6. This would be below 25th percentile mock draft scenario for Anthony Richardson. I don't hate the landing spot. I think the offensive coordinator will know how to use Anthony Richardson. I think that, surrounding Richardson with some weapons, this would also open up some lanes for Ramondre Stevenson. I think this would be actually a benefit for Ramondre Stevenson in the rushing game. In the passing game, however, I think this would be detrimental, because Anthony Richardson, not super accurate. And if he's not rushing the ball, he's chucking it down the field because he's got a rocket for an arm. So Anthony Richardson, I don't think that this is, this is one of those where I don't think it'll happen. I think this is more speculation and any more than anything. He's not being mocked here. He's not, it's just not fitting well. It would not work out very well for fantasy. I think the impact would be great for, if the deep threats are available. This would be great for a Tyquan Thornton for New England. So if Anthony Richardson can hook up with the former second round pick Tyquan Thornton, this would be big. But Anthony Richardson going at 14 is extremely unlikely at this point. In fact, most mock drafts put Anthony Richardson drafted by the Colts and then the Lions and then the Seahawks. So unlikely, but at least an eyebrow raise that Anthony Richardson is being mocked at 14. That is pretty late, though. At 15, another fantasy-relevant player goes off the board, and that is tight end. We see a tight end for the first time. Pick 15 in this draft, Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah, the Utah Utes. Right now, Kincaid is being mocked as high as 16th, as low as 26. So this is just a little, this is probably an 80th percentile outcome for Dalton Kincaid, but he is most drafted by the Green Bay Packers in mocks. So we'll see if Dalton Kincaid can fill in that big hole that was left by Robert Tonyan, leaving, and then Mercedes Lewis also there. So the only other tight ends really of note on the roster for the Green Bay Packers, Tyler Davis and Josiah DeGuara. So Dalton Kincaid could step in day one and be a starting tight end for the Packers. He's 6'3", 246. He's 23 years old. He didn't test at the combine, but he had a 90.2 PFF grade in 2022. His receiving grade was 91.8, 2.42 yards per route run. That's near one of the highest in all of the NCAA. His drop rate was extremely low. He had 70 receptions on 93 targets, 890 yards. Like, he outproduced Michael Mayer last year. This is a guy, yeah, he didn't test at the combine, but he's still trending to be in the top half or close to the top half of the draft. There's a lot of love for Dalton Kincaid. He's not like a Kyle Pitts type of tight end, but he would step in and be immediately fantasy relevant, at least as a mid-pack tight end too. I don't hate it, but as the Packers fan, it's too little too late, right? You think about Aaron Rodgers leaving. You could have gotten, you know, an athletic tight end who can catch along with Christian Watson. It's just unfortunate that now the Packers are addressing offensive weapons for the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers projected to be on the roster for 2023. All right. So Dalton Kincaid goes to Green Bay at 115. 116, Paris Johnson goes off to the Washington Commanders, an offensive tackle for Ohio State. At 17, Deontay Banks goes off for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a cornerback out of Maryland, a redshirt junior. Okay, that would be filling an immediate need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then pick 18 in this mock draft, we get back to the second tight end. I've already talked about Michael Mayer on this podcast, but Michael Mayer at 118 to the Detroit Lions also fills a need at tight end. And this is a player who was productive all 3 years at Notre Dame. 71, 81, and 93 overall grades for Michael Mayer over the last 3 years. He had no fewer than 42 receptions each year, no fewer than 450 receiving yards each of his 3 years at Notre Dame. He increased his yards per reception, his touchdowns, his targets every year. So majority of his pass snaps were played in the slot. He played normally more slot snaps than in line, but he can do it all. And you have to wonder, is that the type of player that the Lions want? Is Michael Mayer, who'd work his tail off, gritty guy, natural leader in the clubhouse. So Michael Mayer going at 118 does fill a need. He's a good character guy. Got to love him out of Notre Dame. This is me with my Fighting Irish glasses on, but that's okay. Michael Mayer, though, even higher yards per route run than Dalton Kincaid, 65% contested catch rate, which is phenomenal. A great run block rate, 82.1, one of the best among.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Seems like everyone's in a hurry these days. At Popeyes, we make our chicken on grandma time. You think grandma rushes good cooking? You've got a second thing coming, and it's a made with love chicken sandwich. We marinate our chicken for 12 hours, hand batter and bread it, and serve it up as a slice of heaven sandwich. Because we were raised to believe that if you're gonna make something, make it right, and then put a pickle on it. We don't make sense. We make chicken.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Tight ends, and then a 91.6 receiving grade. Just consistently good. Consistent goodness. That's what you're going to get out of Michael Mayer. And the trends for Michael Mayer, his stock has dropped a little bit. Right now, his 50th percentile draft spot is 28. We've seen him as high as 25 in the 75th percentile, but he does not fall out of the first round. So this would be a little bit high for Michael Mayer. I do think that this is more filling a need. So maybe Zerline, if you're watching, I think that you're leaning into a little bit of a need here, but I like Michael Mayer and his spot here in Detroit. I think that the Detroit Lions are on the right trajectory. My other objection to this one, I suppose, or pushback, is that the Lions just traded a first round tight end. Is this the first round, like a first round tight end? Is that their priority to replace TJ Hockenson with? I'm not convinced that this is the move, this move here. So it would also really hurt Amon-Ra St. Brown because of the amount of snaps that Michael Mayer plays out in the slot, unless the Lions move Amon-Ra to the outside more often, outside, opposite of Jameson Williams. So this Michael Mayer pick may be intriguing, at least an eyebrow raise. I'm not convinced, but he would fill a tight end need because right now it's James Mitchell as one of the tight ends. Like, I can't even remember the other ones there. I'm sorry. It's just they don't have a starting caliber tight end on their roster right now. Okay, let's keep her rolling. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 19 select Nolan Smith. An edge out of Georgia at 20. Miles Murphy goes off from Clemson. The Seattle Seahawks select him. But then at 21, man, oh man, we're going to talk about this player for a while. And that is Jalen Hyatt going at the 1.21 out of Tennessee, straight line speedster, PFF grade 77.4 in 2022. Played 12 games, 67 receptions, 1,267 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 18.9 yards per reception. Okay. And he crushed against Alabama, of course. We know that. So it's a matter of what are we going to get from Jalen Hyatt? Zuerlein says that these teams are infatuated with Hyatt's speed. He's got elite speed. And yeah, he's sure-handed. He can catch and track the ball. A lot of comps for Jalen Hyatt come out to like a Will Fuller, because Jalen Hyatt, 6 foot, 176, so tall enough, not under height, but certainly a player that, you know, is not built like an alpha. He's not like 6'3", 215, like his teammate Cedric Tillman, but he was the Biletnikoff Award winner. It's just not, we don't know what he's going to turn into for the NFL. If he lands on the LA Chargers, there's boom week potential for Jalen Hyatt, given that Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator now. Justin Herbert will be, you know, back and at helm, throwing to Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. As we saw over the last couple of years, both Allen and Williams have struggled to stay healthy, along with Gerald Everett missing some games. So Jalen Hyatt could be that vertical field stretcher. You have to think the Chargers were just running out like the Jalen Guyton's of the world, the Jason Moore's of the world. They've been searching for this wide receiver three, and at least Jalen Hyatt can push, you know, Josh Palmer, because Palmer is not a speedster. He's not a yak guy. He's not a good receiver, but I'm not convinced Jalen Hyatt is a good receiver either. So I don't know how much Jalen Hyatt would push. Like, if Jaxon Smith-Njigba went to the LA Chargers, I could see him pushing out Josh Palmer. If, for instance, Quentin Johnston goes to the Chargers, I could see that happening. If, you know, another wide receiver like Zay Flowers, I could see pushing. But I'm not sure Jalen Hyatt could push Josh Palmer out, you know, very quickly or at all. I feel like the Jalen Hyatt pick would be the Sky Moore pick from last year, where we were projecting him in a good offense. And if he gets a role, he could hit big, but it may just take a year or two. You know, maybe this is a 2024 play for Jalen Hyatt. If he lands on the Chargers, I think he would really struggle to get going in year one, if that is the landing spot for him. I don't know how well he can push out you know, Josh Palmer, and then compete for targets with Everett and Williams and Keenan Allen. So Jalin Hyatt is a player that I would be concerned about this landing spot if he ends up on the LA Chargers. But literally the next pick in Lance Zierlein's mock draft is Zay Flowers, the 122. And Baltimore would select Zay Flowers to go with their new quarterback, CJ Stroud. And I don't hate this pick. I love this pick, actually. I think this would be a great compliment to Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman. Zay Flowers would be an immediate starter on this Baltimore Ravens team. This is about the spot where the Ravens picked Bateman anyways a couple years ago. And I like Zay Flowers as a prospect out of Boston College. He is getting projected first-round draft capital. And Zay Flowers, you know, I've seen him, you know, as high as 21. He's going around 23. He's not falling any lower than 25. Most mocked, drafted by the New York Giants and then the Chargers and then the Ravens. This seems about the right spot for Zay Flowers. And I think he immediately steps in as like a wide receiver 4 for fantasy. You know, Bateman, a wide receiver 2-3, with Andrews being a top tier tight end, and Zay Flowers fitting in as the wide receiver 2 on this team. Okay. So let's see who Lance Zierlein picks out next. At the 123, this is a big one. At the 123, Lance Zierlein picked out Buffalo to select Bijan Robinson. Oh, man. Now, this is not the original pick for the Buffalo Bills. At 23, this was the Minnesota Vikings pick. So Lance Zierlein projects a trade that the Buffalo Bills go up and select Bijan Robinson. So Zierlein doesn't believe that it's going to be the Eagles at 10. He doesn't believe that it's going to be, I don't know, the Cincinnati Bengals draft trading up. It doesn't believe that it's Tampa selecting a first round running back or Seattle. Like there's been a lot of speculation about the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, or even the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers could take him and then be a compliment to Austin Eckler, a 1-2 punch. Imagine that, Bijan and Eckler. Oh boy. That would really mess up a lot of fantasy drafts, but I think that this is a move that would really crush my Damian Harris shares. But at the same time, this may be the ultra move to save Josh Allen from rushing so much. That's why I love the Damian Harris pick, was I thought that Damian Harris, he's a breakaway rate monster. He is a juke rate monster. And so to upgrade that type of running back, I mean, the Bills did not spend a lot of money to sign Damian Harris. So at 23, Bijan Robinson going to the Bills, taking the pressure off Josh Allen is going to be a major, major point. We saw Josh Allen take lots of hits and his elbow, you know, getting bothered throughout the season. So Bijan Robinson going here, it would be fine for fantasy for Bijan. I think he would still pay off early second round draft capital, but it would destroy Damian Harris in fantasy. I think it would be also not a bump up. I think it would be a downgrade for James Cook, but not as negatively impactful as Damian Harris, of course. Because Harris, I projected to be the first and second down back, with Cook sprinkling in, you know, first and second downs, plus holding down a third down role. Bijan can do it all. He is a three down back. His yards per reception were very high. His juke rate is very high. He's not just a capable, but one of the elite pass catching backs in this draft. So Bijan Robinson going to the Bills, maybe that's how the Bills address their wide receiver 2 position, like address it, because Bijan can take one to the house. You can think almost Saquon Barkley when he was drafted by the Giants a few years ago. So Bijan Robinson, out of Texas to the Bills, that is where Lance Zierlein has him projected. Now at 24, Zerline says, well, Joey Porter is going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Joey Porter goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just, I don't think the Steelers would pass up the possibility of drafting Joey Porter again. Okay. At 25, the Giants select Brian Branch, cornerback out of Alabama. Branch has been consistently getting mid first round draft capital. So this would be a little bit of a fall, I believe, for Brian Branch. But the next pick, and this is the third to last fantasy relevant pick in the first round for Lance Zerline, at the 126, Zerline projects Quentin Johnston to go to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Quentin Johnston, he's been getting a lot of first-round draft capital, but the problem is with this trend, he's been trending downward a little bit. However, I don't think he drops this far. Many of the mock drafts, I'm looking at mock draft trends on PFF, and Quentin Johnston doesn't fall further than 18th in 75% of the mocks. So this is an outlier pick, but this would be, you need to be drafting Dak Prescott then if you've got CeeDee Lamb, you've got Brandon Cooks, and Quentin Johnston. Now, maybe it's not Quentin Johnston, but maybe it's another wide receiver. I talked about in a previous live stream mock draft about Josh Downs being drafted at this spot by the Dallas Cowboys. Regardless, I think this is the buy low time for Dak Prescott in fantasy. You've gotten rid of, you know, Michael Gallup is bumped out of the rotation. You're projected to get new lifeblood into the wide receiver core with Brandon Cooks and possibly this first round wide receiver. And Quentin Johnston, over the last 3 years, at least a 71 PFF grade, a 77 receiving grade last year, a 74 grade versus man coverage, a 3.05 yards per route run, which was excellent. So this is a guy, 17.8 yards per reception and 18.3 and 22.1 over the last 3 years. So I like Quentin Johnston landing in Dallas. That could be an immediate impact wide receiver, very fantasy relevant. And this would be able to make CeeDee Lamb more of a PPR monster instead of, you know, maybe it limits CeeDee Lamb on a couple of the big downfield throws, but it also keeps teams honest that they need to not just double team CeeDee Lamb, especially with Dalton Schultz now expected to, or Dalton Schultz signing with the Houston Texans and Ezekiel Elliott cut. So lots of leaning on Tony Pollard, Quentin Johnston, and CeeDee Lamb. It could be much more consolidated, throw in Brandon Cooks as well. But this could be a very potent Dallas Cowboys offense with a projected first-round wide receiver going to them here at 126. At 127, the Minnesota Vikings select Drew Sanders, and this is part of that Lance Zerline projected trade with the Vikings and the Buffalo Bills. So the Vikings are projected to take Drew Sanders. He's mocked there. At 28, the third tight end, Lance Zerline projects not one, not two, but three tight ends in this first round. And at the 128, Cincinnati is mocked to take tight end Luke Musgrave. Now, if you're thinking, who is Luke Musgrave? Well, Musgrave, here we go, is out of Oregon State, 6'6", 253. 4'6", 140, 36-inch vertical, 10'5" broad jump. This is one of the most athletic tight ends we've ever seen. Luke Musgrave. And shout out to Billy Muzio, because Luke Musgrave, his hometown is Bend, Oregon. And Billy, if you watch this, you need to get an in-person interview with Luke Musgrave. That's a requirement now. So just, I need to throw that out there for our friends, Billy Muzio and all those listening. Make sure Twitter Hive, you know, get Billy in on this interview. It's a must have. He lives in Bend, Oregon. So 2022, Luke Musgrave, 72.5 PFF overall grade, is 79 receiving grade. Problem is, Musgrave only played two games last year, 11 receptions, 15 targets in two games. So yes, it's a nice sample, but it's a small sample. 15.4 yards per reception obviously could be inflated, but Musgrave shows some phenomenal, phenomenal RAS. And the trend right now for Musgrave is that he's holding pretty steady. Right now, he's being mocked at about the pick 45, so halfway through the second round. This feels aggressive based on the mocks that I've seen for Luke Musgrave getting picked at the end of the first round. He's more of a mid-second round mock, seems like. Even the 75th percentile, even, at 42. So still a high-end second-round pick. Looks like Musgrave, but he doesn't fall lower than 48. So this is a player that is most mocked to the Green Bay Packers in the second round. So if the Packers don't select at the 115, if they don't select Dalton Kincaid, Luke Musgrave is oftentimes mocked there as well. Very athletic tight end. We'll see if Cincinnati, if this is the landing spot, I think you need to be taking some best ball Luke Musgrave. I don't think he's a redraft option. I don't think that he's going to be, a short-term 2023 option except for in best ball. Like, could Luke Musgrave get, three receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown in some games and then be, get you 10, 11 points for a few games in the last rounds of your fantasy drafts? Yeah, sure. Like, draft some best ball Luke Musgrave, but don't draft Musgrave, to be your starter or to even be like your tight end two that you're depending upon if you're a weak at tight end. Musgrave can offer upside if he lands in an offense like this, but if he lands on like Green Bay in the middle of the second round, like that's not interesting to me, unfortunately, at least for 2023. In Dynasty, fine. You want to take some third, fourth round Luke Musgrave, probably fourth round. Luke Musgrave in your rookie dynasty drafts, be my guest. But Luke Musgrave at 128 feels a little rich. Still, Lance Zierlein is plugged into the NFL, and the Cincinnati Bengals do have a hole at their tight end position now with Hayden Hurst moving to Carolina. All right, so let's see. A couple other picks as we're moving near the end here. We've just got a couple last ones. At pick 29, New Orleans Saints, Kancey out of Pittsburgh, the defensive tackle. He's a junior, redshirt junior. That's who Zierlein projects at New Orleans. At 30, the Eagles selecting Keon White, an edge out of Georgia Tech. But then this is the ruffling of the feathers pick. The last pick for Lance Zierlein is, I think, the most controversial. I love your feedback on this, guys, because if you haven't read the mock draft or you haven't seen the Twitter hive, feast on Lance Zierlein about this one. You guys are going to be all over it. It is the 1.31, the last pick in the first round. Kansas City is projected by Lance Zierlein to take Cedric Tillman, a redshirt senior out of Tennessee. Now you're like, wait a minute. Where have we seen Tillman drafted in the first round? And the answer is almost never. Like, the trend for Cedric Tillman right now on PFF, this is the trends. His 50th percentile draft position is 90th overall. So a back end of the third round for Cedric Tillman. But Lance Zierlein has him at the 131. Maybe the NFL is higher on Cedric Tillman than us fantasy people, us mock drafters. But for right now, like, the highest 75th percentile draft spot for Cedric Tillman is 79. That's still mid third round. Now, Tillman has the profile, 6'3", 213. But he's going to be 23. He's a senior. He got worse last year in PFF overall grade. He only played six games. He got worse in yards per reception. And only a 69.1 receiving grade. I think this is a terrible pick by the Kansas City Chiefs if they go this way. Because, what, they've got Kadarius Toney. They lost Mecole Hardman. They've got Travis Kelce. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster. They have Sky Moore. So I guess maybe they need an alpha. I don't think they need an alpha, but maybe Lance Zierlein knows something that we don't about what the Chiefs plan to do. Like, if their plan is to have a big-bodied wide receiver who can take some of the big hits, the contested catches away from Travis Kelce, I guess. But Cedric Tillman was an average contested catch rate guy. Okay, and a 65.2 grade versus man coverage. This is not like a player that gets you excited, you know, based on what we get, what scouting grades we get, what counting stats we get. And I know that he had been injured, but, you know, he's got a big frame, which is a plus. He's a vertical tree X receiver, but PFF projects him for a fourth round. Like, the mocks have him at the end of the third. PFF puts him at the fourth round. And yeah, you just have to wonder if he has enough to be able to, you know, consistently win. PFF projects him to have shades of Bryan Edwards. And we saw how that like fizzled out, right? Bryan Edwards, a third round pick. Remember when he was drafted with, who was it? His name is escaping me. It was another third round pick by the Raiders. Oh, well. It has an L in it. Whatever. Regardless, it was one of those John Gruden picks that just didn't hit. Cedric Tillman, I think that this is I need to find out where Lance Zierlein went to college, because he is very bullish on these Tennessee wide receivers. Like Jalen Hyatt. You know, I mentioned that Cedric Tillman this is like a 99th percentile possible outcome for Tillman, but Hyatt right now, Jalen Hyatt is being mocked at the 50th percentile at pick 65 at the back end of the second round. But in this mock draft, I mentioned earlier, Jalen Hyatt, 1.21. So I think that there's a disconnect between what we see and what mock drafters are seeing and what Lance Zierlein is seeing, or maybe he's getting information that we don't have about how the league views these Tennessee receivers. And if it's positive about Jalen Hyatt and it's positive about Cedric Tillman, then maybe there's more smoke to this. Maybe there's fire to the smoke of Hendon Hooker moving into the first round. Because we've seen some trends upward for Hendon Hooker. Right now, Hooker is being drafted most commonly in the second round. At 70th, I guess the third round now. But pick 55 is his 75th percentile outcome for Hendon Hooker. But if these two other wide receivers get first round draft capital, then Hendon Hooker might sneak in there for a quarterback needy team that is picking in the early second round to move into the back end of the first round, kind of like a Lamar Jackson scenario from a couple years ago with the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. So that concludes it. Remember, there was no Miami pick. Miami had to forfeit their picks. So there's no Miami pick until, much later, pick 84. Pick 84 is their second pick. Pick 51 is the Miami Dolphins' first pick in this draft. So 31 first round picks. And Zierlein finishes it off with quite a controversial one, Cedric Tillman, which I don't think would be great for fantasy either, because if he's not a good prospect, he's not going to be earning snaps in a big time role. I mean, Sky Moore was a decent enough prospect. I think Sky Moore was a better prospect than Cedric Tillman. And yet Sky Moore was barely able to get on the field last year. You know, So Cedric Tillman going 31. I can't get behind it. Sorry, Lance. But nevertheless, this was a lot of fun going through this mock draft. Of course, if you like the content and you find it helpful, hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. I'm Bradley. As you can tell, I've made some upgrades if you're returning to the channel. But also, if you're new, I appreciate all of you tuning in. It's a lot of fun checking out these mock drafts. I'll be putting out some more content for Best Bell, of course, over the next couple weeks. The draft is coming up very soon. I'm going to be dissecting some more of these mock drafts as we get closer and closer. I'm also going to be doing some profile rookie profile work for some sites. So keep your eyes out for that. So lots of good things in the works. I'm excited to be doing this with all of you and growing this community. We finally hit over 1,000 subscribers in the last week, which is phenomenal. So I'm grateful for all of you, the way you've supported it. And I am updating my best ball rankings on bestbellfantasy.com. So check that out here very shortly. I have ones from a couple weeks ago, but of course there have been some signings and some changes. So be on the lookout on bestbellfantasy.com for my rankings. And then I'll also be adding more content to the website as well as we get moving forward. All right, everyone. Until next time, good luck in the best ball streets.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
I love Mondays. And yes, I'm being 100% serious. Why? It's because I'm a Dunkin' Rewards member. And Mondays are better with Dunkin' Rewards. Every Monday this month, rewards members get a free medium hot or iced coffee with any purchase. Not a member? Join on the Dunkin' app and never miss a deal like this. Dunkin' Rewards. Save them, stack them, use them how you want. America runs on Dunkin'. Limit one per member per Monday. Additional charges and terms may apply. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.